Today on Seculo, Trump fires back following debate after moderator's performance.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo. We want to take your phone calls. A number today as we fix our usual call-in number line. It's 1-833-793-1110. That's 833-799-3110 if you want to talk to us on the air. I'm going to be real honest with you right off the bat of the show. There was no way for Donald Trump to win that debate last night after about the first 10 minutes when you saw that the moderator's questions to Donald Trump would always start with a negative. You said this, and we fact-checked it, and you're wrong, or we don't believe that you're right, that you can't actually rely on local media news reports. You have to rely on whatever ABC says is the truth. And then when the questions went to Harris, it was just straight-up questions. She could answer however she wanted, and there was no pushback on her answers about what her actual plans were. So it was Donald Trump, really, versus three. The question is, Harris wants another debate in October, which is interesting because usually if you thought you had destroyed your opponent in the debate, you would not be the first person out of the gate saying, I hope we have another debate. But what I think she believes is she's cut into Donald Trump, probably not significantly, but if she got one more opportunity at it, learning about what really can get under his skin and the right moderators, that it could be worth one more debate to then favor her going into actual election day. But I don't think it was as bad for Donald Trump as some people are saying. He, there were some difficult issues. Obamacare has been a difficult issue for Republicans, Logan. We know that from the beginning. And it isn't just Donald Trump. It's Republicans going back years now who have not been able to figure out how to replace Obamacare. Donald Trump got as close as possible, but because of his personal relationship with John McCain, John McCain let his personal beliefs on Donald Trump trump his policy beliefs as someone who wanted to, get rid of Obamacare. And he did that, famous, like, Roman-style thumbs down to kill it. And they brought that up last night. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought overall the debate was pretty lackluster. I was really disappointed in David Muir and the ABC moderators. I think that, to me, was the number one takeaway from this, was how really unfair it seemed. Look, I'm no sitting here as a Donald Trump apologist, but it doesn't take anybody with any sort of news sense or political sense to watch that and not see really what it was. That was very disappointing. I think that you had the opportunity from the last debate to actually come out, have a fair debate, have these conversations. It was very clear up front that, as you said, questions were either pointed to President Trump that were all negative, and then when they were pointed to Kamala Harris, a lot of times they were pointed as also negatives to President Trump. There was very few times in that situation where it felt like it wasn't an attack. And to be honest, I got exhausted by it. When you got to an hour and a half plus, there were times when I was finding myself just tuning out because I couldn't really take it anymore. But what it does from the narrative that President Trump has been spinning for years is prove that the news is biased against him.
Right.
And you may like him or not like him, but if you watch that and you think that was a fair and balanced, a fair and balanced debate, all that it did was prove the point that President Trump has been saying over the years. Sadly, it may have come at a negative cost.
Right, yeah. I mean, they fact-checked Trump 5 times live. No fact checks for Harris. As people said, you could see the questions for Harris were pretty much softballs. And even if they were kind of more straightforward, tougher questions, she could answer however she wanted, and they didn't follow up and say, really, you feel that differently about fracking? You feel that differently about the environment and the new Green Deal and all these other, going electric and defunding the police? How did you make this switch in just the last 3 years? And why didn't you tell anybody? And what have you done the last 3.5 years to get to any of these moments? We're taking your calls again. The number today, 1-833-799-3110. And of course, as the election nears, the attacks from the left are going to continue to increase. We need your help now more than ever. Become an ACLJ champion at aclj.org. Kilo. As a reminder, we're going to be taking your calls today. We've got a new number today. We're working on our system. It's 1-833-799-3110. That will get you right to us. We've got one line open right now. We wanted to start off because we know, one, this is a very important issue, if not the top issue, when you kind of combine inflation, the economy, all together. That issue and immigration always are about like number one and number two when they ask voters. Before I do that, though, I do want to acknowledge today, September 11th, and even later in the broadcast, when we talk about more foreign policy with the Afghanistan withdrawal and the embarrassment on the world stage, losing those 13 troops as New York continues to honor both Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, President Biden, as well as Vice President Harris in New York City today. This marking the 23rd anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. And I think, you know, it comes at a time that's relevant because of these discussions about how the withdrawal of Afghanistan was done, being pulled back into conflicts in the Middle East, potentially with the Houthi rebels, with Iran, and of course, Israel and Hamas. So again, we continue to pray for those families, but remember the rest of the families as well. How many young men and women who went to war all over the world, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and did not come home, or came home with gravely injured, serious injuries as a result of the 9/11 attacks. It was not just the nearly 3,000 Americans lost that day on U.S. soil. It was the thousands of Americans lost combating terrorism in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and terrorism that we continue to combat. I don't know why Kamala Harris said we don't have troops anywhere, because I see reports regularly that our troops are getting fired on in Syria. So however she's trying to walk some fine line there is again, very much Washington talk. But the economy is always front and center in general elections, especially presidential elections. So we want to bring in our director of policy, Harry Hutchinson, because Harry, one thing that popped for a lot of people, and they might not understand it, I'm sure that's why Harris said it that way, was that she announced she's going to give a $50,000 tax credit to anybody who starts a small business. And everybody's thinking around the table, then, you know what? I might as well start a small business, because even if it doesn't do well, maybe I spend a few thousand dollars. Well, can I keep the other $47,000? Or I could do something pretty wild, a passion project, if you will, and I'm going to be okay. That's not how tax credits work.
Precisely. So virtually everyone knows that Kamala Harris knows virtually nothing about economics or the economy. And last night, she proved that by focusing on tax credits. Tax credits only work when and if you make money, and then you have a credit that you can apply against your income. So 50% of all small businesses in the United States fail in the first 5 years. None of those businesses would be eligible for Kamala Harris's tax credit. 20% of small businesses fail in the first year alone. So I think if you really drill down, you find that most small businesses would not be eligible for the Kamala Harris tax credit. And so one of the things to keep in mind is her proposal will do virtually nothing to jumpstart the economy. And so one of the things that we should think about is the comparison between Kamala Harris's promises after she's been in office for 3.5 years versus what Donald Trump delivered in 4 years in office with respect to the economy. Real wages rose by 15%. How do you do that? You grow the economy, you grow jobs, but you do not impose a tax on the American people in the form of inflation, which is precisely what the Biden-Harris regime has done. So again, Kamala Harris, at the end of the day, shows she doesn't know what she's doing, particularly in the realm of economics.
Look, we've got bites to play. We've pulled them for people because I know it's tough when it's an hour and a half, actually we're put to about an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And they said there were going to be two commercial breaks, but they took one about after like an hour. But the last commercial break wasn't until they came back just for the closing statement. So, I mean, it was long.
Yeah, I started tapping out, I'll be honest.
You know, you couldn't run to put your kids to sleep. You couldn't run to grab something from the kitchen if you were trying to follow anything, you know, maybe pause it, things like that. So, a lot of people are going to get their news about this debate this morning, especially our listeners. I think a lot of them probably did tune in, but their friends who they'll be talking to likely didn't. And so, they're going to see. Whatever news source they go to is really going to give them the idea of what to take away from the debate. And I think this is when, you know, we have the sound from Harris on her passion about small businesses, like Harry just discussed. This is how you mislead voters right off the bat with a policy that sounds like you're giving them free money. Let's play it. Bite six.
My passion, one of them, is small businesses. I was actually, my mother raised my sister and me, but there was a woman who helped raise us. We call her our second mother. She was a small business owner. I love our small businesses. My plan is to give a $50,000 tax deduction to startup small businesses, knowing they are part of the backbone of America's economy. My opponent, on the other hand, his plan is to do what he has done before, which is to provide a tax cut for billionaires and big corporations, which will result in $5 trillion to America's deficit.
Yeah, okay. So, Harry, just break that down for people. This idea, again, that you know Donald Trump only wants tax cuts for the rich, I don't think that's how American workers felt when he came into office. Pre-COVID, the economy was booming. People felt good. Interest rates were extremely low. People were buying homes. They were able to purchase their first home. They were able to purchase second homes. They were moving up in their home market. They were selling their first home, buying a bigger home. They were able to have more cash in their pocket, spend more on travel. And again, more on, as she likes to talk about, small businesses and her passions. So she tries to make it sound like these $50,000 tax deductions and credits that are going to somehow spur all of these passion projects and small businesses to be able to pop up all over America instead of just benefiting millionaires and billionaires, who, by the way, are the vast majority of people in the non-government sector. Those millionaires and billionaires employ most people. And a lot of those millionaires are small business owners.
Harris essentially offered platitudes. She talked about her passion. Well, her passion and her platitudes neither grow the economy or put food on the table. By contrast, stark contrast, the inflation rate during the Trump administration was much lower. Everyone remembers how low interest rates were during the Trump administration, notwithstanding the attack lines that Kamala Harris delivered last night. And the final point I would make is that if this was such a wonderful idea and it was such a wonderful policy, why didn't she implement this policy 3.5 years ago? Why is she waiting until she runs for office to announce and support this policy when she had the capability of announcing this policy on January the 20th, 2021?
One of the things I think that was pretty interesting was you saw her distance herself from President Biden, maybe for the first time as clearly, because I feel like in the last times we've seen her interviewed, she's like, of course, I'm part of the team. I'm the vice president. You know, his policies are my policies. But in this instance, he brought it up and she specifically said, you're not running against Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Almost threw Joe Biden under the bus publicly.
But in fact, policy-wise, you are.
Pretty much exactly the same.
She is the vice president currently of Joe Biden. She cannot run away as much as she would like to. But the media didn't fact check her there. They didn't stop her there and say, but you have been there, like President Trump said, for 3.5 years. Why did you not bring this idea to Joe Biden, these tax credits, so that the economy could improve if you really believe it would and bring inflation numbers down? Why hold all these policies until now if you're supposed to be an advisor to the president? I mean, take a listen to President Trump on these ideas that Harris kept throwing out without a plan.
She doesn't have a plan. She copied Biden's plan, and it's like four sentences, like run, spot, run. Four sentences that are just, oh, we'll try and lower taxes. She doesn't have a plan. Take a look at her plan. She doesn't have a plan.
Logan, you went through that plan that day that those policy plans went up.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they were pretty generic, and a lot of them were, we know from the metadata.
And yes, a lot
they
of
were copied and pasted right from Joe Biden. So she says she's not Joe Biden, but her policy pages.
Yeah, now a lot of callers have those questions and comments. If you're on hold right now, we are going to take your calls coming up here in next segment and the segment later on the broadcast. But there, we're jammed right now. So no, you've got a lot to say, so stay on hold right now. But we do want to encourage you to also, after you saw last night, what we are up against. You saw how unfair it was. You saw the work they've been doing to really undermine a lot of the work that we're doing here in the ACLJ.
Yeah, we have big fights coming up, and the deck is stacked against all of us. We're going to need your support to help us protect your rights and freedoms. Please become an ACLJ champion and make a monthly recurring gift at ACLJ.org/champions. We're fighting the Biden-Harris weaponization of government against our colleague Tulsi Gabbard and other conservatives with a fourth round of FOIAs coming up. We're fighting a Kamala-inspired attack on pro-life centers in Massachusetts. We're battling the radical left's attack on school choice with a major court filing at Ohio Supreme Court late last night. And that's a little bit of a preview. We're going to talk about that filing tomorrow on the broadcast. Today, focusing on the bait, but we're in court in Ohio. Donate today, ACLJ.com. Welcome back to Secular. We are taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Listen, a couple of just takeaways for me. One, Donald Trump walking into the lion's den. Listen, did he come out with some scars? Sure. Do I think that this is going to change? Like all these people are saying, oh, this has totally changed the outcome of the election. No, I don't think it's just, I just don't think it was that level of debate. Harris did better than she's done before, but we have very little to even go to with Harris other than very short interview she did with Dana Bash, and then also her previous debate performances, which some were good and some were not good, as we talked to Tulsi Gabbard, our colleague, about that yesterday, that she would prepare, come in like a prosecutor. I'm not sure a word Harris said last night wasn't something she memorized. That does show that she can prep. Okay, she's someone who's a serious politician. She's made it all the way through the California Democrat political system to the vice president's office and now as a presidential candidate. So if you spend a week prepping, you could basically have a statement for everything. And if you're not going to get any pushback, Logan, from the moderators, so you can basically claim whatever you want. Yeah. Abortion means this. Roe means this. There's no states that allow this or that. And then it just moves on to another question. Well, that makes it really easy. You just memorize what you're going to say, what you have tested with poll testing to audiences and the group that you're looking to impact the most. And you know that there's not going to be any pushback.
And you have a general idea of probably the five main topics that are going to come up, and you prep for that. But of course, they didn't do that to President Trump. Let's hear this sort of supercut of all the fact checks that happened on President Trump and, of course, did not happen on Vice President Harris.
There is no state in this country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's born.
President Trump, as you know, the FBI says overall violent crime is actually coming down in this country. I just want to clarify here, you bring up Springfield, Ohio, and ABC News did reach out to the city manager there. He told us there have been no credible reports of specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals. I did watch all of these pieces of video. I didn't detect the sarcasm, lost by a whisker. We didn't quite make it. And we should just point out here as clarification, and you know this, you and your allies, 60 cases in front of many judges, many of them
Republican. No judge looked at it.
And said
they said
no,
we didn't have standing.
Fraud.
Nancy Pelosi was responsible. She didn't do her job.
The question was about you as president, not about former Speaker Pelosi.
Yes, former Speaker Pelosi is the one who has the ability to protect the Capitol and call on the National Guard. That's her job. Separate from the president of the United States. So that's what was talking about there. Talking about those reports about animals, they're everywhere, Logan. And they're not, again, the idea that ABC said they could get, would a city manager who is basically brought in to be someone who brings small businesses in to their city ever admit to the fact that our people's pets and the ducks in the pond were being taken by immigrants, Haitian immigrants, even if that was true? No, unless there were police reports. And there's probably not police reports, but there's plenty of reporting showing that it's like what they said about Aurora, that the Venezuelan gangs didn't take over. But I've been watching it on video for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think that a lot of that is that sort of gray area of what is true and what is reported facts. We reached out to a city manager. I mean, even if you don't want to say that, you say that's overblown or whatever it is, these are the issues that are happening around the country. And if you're not staying alert to them, I mean, yes, does it come out as, sadly, the sort of the comedy moment that Trump may not live down? Sure, that will be what everyone seizes on. That's what all comedians will seize on, because it's so outrageous and outlandish to all of a sudden hear something like they're cooking your pets.
A lot of what he said is outrageous and sounds like that until you see it's true.
Right.
He said that about, you know, he said that about so many different issues, immigration being one of them, the threat from China. And what do we see? We see the immigration, just that the amount of illegal immigrants into our country, which is hurting our economy. We see the U.S. jobs of American-born workers have gone down, non-American-born workers going up. And we also see the wars raging around the world and getting close to even more potential conflicts. This, again, you know you were going into a situation where it could be 3-on-1. You're never quite sure. Even with CNN, when it was the Joe Biden debate, there was a lot of concern it could end up being 3-on-1. But they took a different approach. They were tough on both. And Joe Biden was sputtering so bad that they pushed him and to a point where he could no longer respond. Neither one of the candidates last night got to a point where they couldn't respond. But I think if you are President Trump, you need to get the message out now about what were the lies from Harris. And there were a number of lies, especially when she has to go through that values thing she goes through about, I haven't changed, you know, my positions can change, but not my actual values.
Everything felt like a lie. It felt like it was a lie over and over and over again. It felt like a night of lies. Let's watch this. A night of people saying what they want to say with no accountability. It really just kept coming up. Even my children, sort of, even when they were watching it, they said that. They were like, this just feels like we're just being lied to. The MAGA hat line didn't go over very well with my kids. They thought it was hysterical. So that went over pretty big. We do have a packed bunch of phone calls right now. Let's go ahead and take one. Sure. Let's go to John, who's calling in New York, who is listening on the radio on line 3. You're on the air.
Hello, Seculo and my fellow Americans. Hey, a question I have is in regards to in-kind contributions, which would be a possible violation of the federal election code by the ABC specifically for this so-called debate. And would there be cause for the Senate and the House, assuming they can control, the Republicans can control it after November, after January, to investigate if there's violations of the election laws? And since
I'm just going to say Donald Trump was voluntarily there.
And kind of knew what he was getting himself into.
What he was getting into. Knew ABC was the toughest on him when it came to each night pointing out what they call lies, and he decided to go for it again. And there is no presidential debate commission to really set a format anymore for these debates. So we follow the same rules, kind of as CNN, though the mics were not totally off, by the way. Can we talk about that?
They definitely did not follow the rules. I mean, the first question lasted like 12 minutes. I was timing it. It took forever. This was not something that the CNN was so strict on it, and I think that actually benefited them. They were not strict on it. It just kind of got walked over.
And if you talk about these networks, listen, we could reach out to as many Democrats as we want, but we're going to have a lot more Republicans that are going to say yes to come on our show. So as long as those ABC is saying, well, we put out a request to talk to someone, they're clear, they're covered. It does. So it's a lot of that is that Republicans won't go on because of exactly what you saw last night. It's not worth it to them politically. Now, in the presidential setting, if you wanted to get into a debate with Harris, listen, I mean, you saw, too, if you could kind of ignore the moderators, which is tough to do, Logan, but kind of like close your eyes, ignore the moderators. You could imagine the two different political positions that were being put forward last night. The ideologies cannot be more different. And so I think that's why, unless you're a voter who just votes on feel, I don't know that it changes anyone's mind in the key battleground states.
I actually thought it was pretty interesting. We got about a minute, so we can play this. This is J.D. Vance and his response to the eating of the animals. And yes, I thought this was actually pretty fascinating.
This town has been ravaged by 20,000 migrants coming in. Healthcare costs are up. Housing costs are up. Communicable diseases like HIV and TB have skyrocketed in this small Ohio town. This is what Kamala Harris's border policies have done. And I think it's interesting, Caitlin, that the media didn't care about the carnage wrought by these policies until we turned it into a meme about cats. And that speaks to the media's failure to care about what's going on in these communities. If we have to meme about it to get the media to care, we're going to keep on doing it because the media should care about what's going on.
You know, I mean, right there, Logan, you brought it up. They couldn't get the attention on the HIV rates going up, TB, tuberculosis going up, and the hospitals, you know, out of control, not being able to take care of the schools. They had to find something that was so extreme just to even get people's attention on a small town in Ohio and how illegal immigration was affecting. We'll be right back on Secular.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Secular. And now your host, Jordan Secular.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We've got a lot of folks who want to talk to us on the air. Today, the number, because we've had a little a hiccup with the other number. We'll get that fixed. But today to talk to us, 1-833-799-3110. That's 833-799-3110. We'll go to the phones. We're, of course, talking about the debate. I mean, listen, I've given my first reaction. I'm not going to be one of those Republicans that say, oh, yeah, Donald Trump blew it out of the park last night. He killed Kamala Harris. That just didn't happen. It was 3-on-1, and Kamala Harris ended up looking better than she ever has at any moment in this entire campaign, even better than her DNC speech when they came out of that. So I expect she could get some kind of bump in the polls. I don't think it will last very long. I think ultimately this will come down to issues where inflation is, where the economy is, and individual voters and their how they are doing personally. And do you like the idea of more government or less government? And are we able to get our policy messages across about why the policies Harris is proposing are bad and they haven't worked? You could look at that because they haven't worked for the past 3.5 years. She says, I'm not Joe Biden, but she is Joe Biden's vice president. So she owns that entire record, like it or not. And so those policies have not been working. We see less Americans getting jobs in the jobs report and more foreign-born workers getting jobs. We see the inflation numbers continuing to make it tough on Americans to buy a home, to the grocery bills, the gas bills, everything. It's just been a tougher time, and you see the world at war with kind of no end in sight. I mean, it's going to be October. It's September 11th today. It reminds us of not just those who lost their lives on that horrible day in New York City and Pennsylvania, but all those young American soldiers who lost their lives fighting terrorism in Iraq and Afghanistan. And you know what, too? I mean, the Dick Cheney. I want to go back to that, too.
Well, it's wild.
The Dick Cheney endorsement and the fact that Harris is welcoming endorsements like that. These are people they called war criminals up until like a week ago.
Yeah, it just shows they have no backbone, no soul, if you will.
Company guy. Right. This is Halliburton. This is you went to war just for your company to get more oil. And now they say, oh, it's great that Dick Cheney is supporting. I don't even think most.
He wasn't John McCain.
Most Republicans don't want Dick Cheney's endorsement.
Yeah, not right now.
Republicans, no. Not to see where, if you look back in history, he made a lot of bad decisions.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Let's go to Mary, who's calling in Maryland. And she is an ACLJ champion, and ACLJ champions get priority calls. So hey, I just knew you were on hold still for a while, but we appreciate it. Still first up. Mary, you're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call and for all that you do. My concern is I thought that Harris did actually an excellent job, especially compared to Biden in her presentation. But everything she said was a lie. And now President Trump did a great job in his presentation. However, many people might be swayed by what they've heard on TV and such about his indictments. And
Mary, and I'm going to get your thoughts on this, is they treated everything that Donald Trump said as a lie. And whenever Harris made any statement, she just got no second question. I mean, that's kind of what I took away last night, is that she could say whatever she wanted to about her policy changes, and they didn't push back on her. And Donald Trump couldn't even before he even started, got a question, while the question to Donald Trump was being asked, the question was already a negative. Before he even answered, he already was on the defensive by the way the question was answered. So if you think the mainstream media is biased and not worth your time, it isn't. And it's really biased. Horribly so. Horribly so. And you saw that last night. You think David Mirror, with his boring kind of tone and all that, isn't really directing millions of Americans to be liberals? They are. They just do it in a different way. We need you. We've got big fights coming up. One of them we're going to get into on tomorrow's broadcast. I'm just teasing this for you. We're battling the radical left's attack on school choice in Ohio, with a major court filing already at Ohio Supreme Court late last night while the debate was ongoing. We'll get into it more tomorrow, but we need your support financially. Donate today at aclj.org. All right, the topic of abortion we know is going to be front and center. It has been front and center in the midterms last time around, in different elections, and now in this general election. Now, so far, the topic of abortion, once Roe versus Wade was overturned, has mostly been battled out in the states. And Donald Trump pointed out, you know, in some states, even states that will likely vote for President Trump have put in place ballot measures, or the voters have actually voted in support of ballot measures that are pretty pro-abortion. So you can't just look at a state and say, oh, that's a red state, so the voters there are going to vote and ban all abortions. And then you can't just look at a purple state and say, well, this is what the legislator is going to do. Like, I kind of want to start off, because we do have questions about this. I want to take this call from Julie in Texas online, too, because I think it sets up perfectly. And we've got CeCe Howell in joining us in the studio. The questions and the answers that people were looking for last night. Hey, Julie, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you so much. You guys are a light in the darkness. But I just wanted to ask, Kamala said that there was no state where abortion at full term was legal, or, you know, killing your baby after it's born is not legal. But I know there's been so much done. I'm just ignorant. Can you tell us what is happening in that?
All right.
Yeah.
So, CeCe, seven states,
yep,
and the District of Columbia have zero restrictions on the gestational age of a baby being aborted. That means abortion is legal through all 9 months of pregnancy.
Absolutely.
And we can go through the list for people right now.
To the moment that a child is born. And those seven states for Julie: Alaska, Oregon, Colorado, Minnesota, which is Tim Walz's state.
He
signed that legislation saying a state can't interfere with abortion. New Mexico, Vermont, New Jersey, and District of Columbia. And I want to point out, too, just to kind of even go further, you know, one of the moderators who jumped in to be a debater,
yeah,
made a comment of, you know, Mr. President, there is no state that allows a baby to be killed after birth. But she absolutely wrong. I'll fact check her, because in California, we actually fought these bills in California, Maryland, and New Mexico. We won in Maryland, but California and New Mexico have passed legislation that does not allow investigations into deaths of babies during the perinatal period, which the perinatal period is up to 28 days after birth. So absolutely, there are states where if a baby dies within the 28 days of birth, an investigation cannot be opened up into that death.
Yeah, one of those is Harris's home state of California, New Mexico as well. We beat that in Maryland, that perinatal term being utilized. But just to remind people also, 18 additional states allow abortions 24 weeks or later. That means some third trimester abortions. So when Harris was asked about that, she totally ignored the question. And again, she wasn't pressed. I don't know if we have that bite, Will, but I mean, that was just another one of those examples, CeCe, where,
yes,
when she got pushed on, you know, where do you stand, she would just say, that doesn't exist. And the moderators would say, that's true. But here you are listing off states for you right away, seven that have no restrictions on the age of the baby being aborted.
Yeah.
None. Okay, so ABC lied to the American people last night. They didn't do their homework, but they want to lie to the American people. They don't want you to know that this kind of abortion is legal in seven states plus DC, and then another 18 states allow it into the third trimester. And this is in the post-overturning of Roe versus Wade world, where they were all crying, oh, this is the end of abortion, and it's gonna return to the back alleys, and that's just not true.
Yeah, and when she was pushed on it saying, you know, would you allow, do you have any restrictions? And she simply said, I will reinstate Roe v. Wade, as if to indicate that Roe v. Wade had any restrictions on abortion. And that is false as well. Roe v. Wade did not restrict abortion at any point. What it did do is it allowed states to only be able to intervene after a baby was viable. So there was no cap, but there was a time period put on states when they could intervene and actually put limits on abortion.
This is about a minute and 20 seconds, but this is Harris, the moderator, and Harris on abortion. It's a minute and a half. See what you actually take away from Harris's answer.
Vice President Harris, want to give you your time to respond, but I do want to ask, would you support any restrictions on a woman's right to an abortion?
I absolutely support reinstating the protections of Roe v. Wade. And as you rightly mentioned, nowhere in America is a woman carrying a pregnancy to term and asking for an abortion. That is not happening. It's insulting to the women of America. And understand what has been happening under Donald Trump's abortion bans. Couples who pray and dream of having a family are being denied IVF treatments. What is happening in our country? Working people, working women who are working one or two jobs, who can barely afford childcare as it is, have to travel to another state to get on a plane sitting next to strangers to go and get the health care she needs. Barely can afford to do it, and what you are putting her through is unconscionable. And the people of America have not, the majority of Americans believe in a woman's right to make decisions about her own body, and that is why in every state where this issue has been on the ballot, in red and blue states both, the people of America have voted for freedom.
You know, it's interesting that statement that, you know, vast majority of Americans believe that women should be able to make their own decisions about their own body. And that's just a pretty generic statement. So if you say it like that, I think a lot of Americans say, yeah, generally that should be true unless what they're doing is to themselves is illegal. We don't allow you to do anything to yourself and because of how it could affect others, including an unborn child. Right. And it is, while it's not all the states, I mean, I don't know how many times we have to say that seven states plus the District of Columbia have no gestational limits. So that means you can have abortion at any moment during the pregnancy. That's seven states plus D.C. and another 18 states allow abortion into the third trimester. Two other states have no protection for children who are born alive from botched abortions. That's both California and New Mexico. We fought back. Maryland was about to put that in place. We fought back, and Maryland Democrats actually pulled their legislation.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, if you want to do fact-checking, this issue of abortion needs to be fact-checked. And another thing, we saw it at the Democrat National Convention. The only examples they can give where this is a problem are miscarriages. Yeah. And I want to say this again and be very specific and clear. A miscarriage is not now, nor has it ever been considered an abortion. It's not. An abortion is an intentional ending of a viable pregnancy, terminating the life of a baby. And a miscarriage is not a viable pregnancy. It's not an abortion. But yet those are the only examples they can give to kind of pull on the heartstrings of Americans of, oh, look at these people that have been harmed by these abortion, you know, limitations. Well, they weren't. Again, that's false statements from the vice president, and she should have been called on all of them.
Yeah, I want to go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Look how people have been holding on the line. I think I want to go to Joe in Minnesota on line four. Hey, Joe, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Thank you. Hello, guys. I'm very concerned because, you know, unlike us, half this nation, yep, has no information but what the media gives them. Half this nation is ignorant to the facts. Half this nation works purely on emotion. And if you watch that debate last night without any of the facts, Donald Trump for 10 years now has been demonized by the media. Yep. He's like Frankenstein, bad. And here you had this woman who they made up fantastic to look like an actress, talking about love, peace, joy, working together, solving the problems, and then angry white old guy. I think that's very concerning because the people will vote on emotion without any facts. They think it's half this nation.
Well, I think here's this. And CC, I'll go to you. Because I think people will vote on emotion over fact unless they can't buy the things they want to buy. And I'm not talking about like extreme examples. Everybody wants, you know, a supercar and a giant house. I'm talking about the basics to get by. If they can't afford the basics to get by, I don't know that they care about all these, how well you looked in a debate the night before. And that's what we'll say. We'll see. We'll see if there's another debate. We'll see if this debate really shifts anything when it comes to the polls. Sometimes little bumps happen for those who the media tells everybody did better in the debate, but then it kind of trickles off after that. But it's hard to vote on feelings if you can't afford the basics of what you need.
Yeah, that's right. And she couldn't answer the first question. Are we better off today than 4 years ago? She was like, so I'm the only person on the stage that's came from a middle-class family. She couldn't answer it because the answer would be no, we're not better off.
Right. And everyone knows that. I mean, and I think people feel that. So if they're going to vote on feeling first, I think they should be feeling on how they feel when they are attempting to spend money or they don't have the money they need to get the basics to survive and to live their life, especially if they have been used to a middle-class lifestyle that was basically ripped away from them because of these policies that were put in place. Support the work of the ACLJ. You know, as the election nears and the attacks from the left increase, we need your help now more than ever. We're battling a radical left attack on school choice. We're going to talk about tomorrow. We filed late last night at Ohio Supreme Court. So again, a little preview of that. You need to become an ACLJ champion at ACLJ.org. Donate today or make it a recurring donation. We need that support. All right. Final segment of the broadcast day. It's gone by quickly. Much quicker than the first hour of that debate last night. Think about it. We actually get with a couple commercial breaks. And ours are very short. I kept waiting for that first commercial break, though, because it's like, let me have time. It's kind of just started. They didn't have their opening statements. I need to run to the restroom to get my kids asleep.
No, they didn't give you the opportunity. It was way late. But let's go ahead and kick it off.
Yep, we'll go right to the phones at 1-833-799-3110. And obviously, people got that new number because we are packed with phone calls.
Yeah, let's start with Rhonda, who's calling. She's ACLJ champion, so you get priority. Rhonda, you're up.
Thanks for being a champion, Rhonda.
Hey, guys. Thank you for all you do. And I have two things. Number one, I live in Ohio, not far, less than a half an hour from Springfield. What he said, what President Trump said is true. Our attorney general is even now finally looking into this. I have seen some clips of people coming to the board meetings in Springfield because there are people that can't even stay in their homes because there are squatters in their yard. And there's more to be said, but yes, they are eating people's pets. And number two, Ohio. Oh, my goodness. I am a conservative. I have voted pro-life always, never otherwise. Ohio had an issue one where, because before issue one, we had a ban up to 6 weeks. And issue one just erased it because 12% of the conservative people voted. Everybody else stayed home. So if people who really believed in the issues would get out and vote, we would not have allowed these situations to be made legal in Ohio.
This is exactly what I said, Rhonda, last night after this debate. I said this debate showed me one main thing. One, it wasn't a knockout by anyone. I don't care what the media is saying about that. It wasn't. Okay, Donald Trump's got a big campaign and a big support base. And Harris has got a big campaign and a major support base too with the Democrat Party. They have two major parties behind them. This is going to come down to who has the better turnout machines. Because ideologically, these people are so different.
Yeah.
You're not going to sway them even on style. I don't think her style is particularly likable either. So it's kind of like, pocketbook. Who do you think is going to be better for you economically and for your family? And I think it doesn't. That's not a bad decision to start from, even as a person of faith, because that's going to impact your church, your community. That's going to affect the kind of health of your community. Is are people able to find jobs? Are they able to kind of get themselves out of tough situations? Or are we kind of, you know, spiraling into this country where the middle class no longer exists?
Yep. Let's go ahead and continue on. Let's go to Colette, also an ACLJ champion. You're on the air, Colette, in Pennsylvania.
Yes. Hello. How are you? I'm just calling, and I just want to say I am an ACLJ champion.
Thank you.
And I just want to let you guys know that I love you, and I do share this information. But I was calling in regard to the fact check moderators and how they didn't. That was not right. They were putting stuff right then when they said the rules that they couldn't do that without doing both of them. And then was it muted? Because I could still hear people. I mean,
Harris. Close together.
Yeah, you're going to bleed over on the microphone.
There was bleed over. So the fact is that room was so close that if you spoke next to the microphone, that Donald Trump or Harris were close enough to be picked up on the other person.
Like you.
Right.
If they cut my mic right now, you'd be able to hear me a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
And if I was talking loudly, probably pretty decently. I mean, especially on your TV. So that was not the same as a CNN debate. On the second part, how do they fact check? Because they ask the questions with the lead. They go in with a leading question.
Yeah, they know what's coming.
They know what the answer is going to be, and they know what they're going to then retort with.
Right, exactly. It was so just set up in that situation. It was really disheartening. I really did
set up and
leave it going. Everything that Donald Trump says about the media is true, and here's the proof of it. And it bummed me out. You know, it made me sad because it does feel like we're living in sort of a really weird time where there is no truth to media, and it's like you said, we're not coming. We're being honest. We're an alternate media source. We're being honest and not saying, you know, Donald Trump blew it out of the water. That was an incredible win. And we're also saying, and we're not saying it was an incredible loss either. There's no reason for us to. We can be honest and truthful, but it's clear that they have mandates and they can't be. Or they're choosing not to be to try to sway an election in their favor. I really hate that. I hate that's where we've ended up. Let's continue on, take a few more calls, and we start to wrap up this broadcast. Let's go to Ann, who's calling on, watching on Facebook, calling in Pennsylvania. You're on the air.
Hey guys, great post-debate analysis. Unlike some of the conservative media I heard this morning who had this Monday morning quarterback analysis, you know, Trump did horrible. He could have done so much better. And I'm just saying, you know, I'm 63 years old and for decades I have watched the fact that, you know, the liberals have hijacked every entity, every institution, including the debate stage. What my question is, okay, what can we do to get the RNC to get conservatives to be more bold and outspoken about the fact that there is no more journalistic integrity? There's a basic code of ethics, in my opinion, in journalism. When are we going to demand that we get it back? And
thought we had actually by saying we're done. Remember, the Presidential Debates Commission is no more. And I thought we were actually likely going into a situation, even before Biden stepped out, where there would not be any debates because the American people would see they'd just become junk, a waste of time, political moves by either networks that were covering it because their bias overshadowed whatever would be debated. And you know what? It might actually have been better for the American people. It sounds bad.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
You don't want it to be that way. But you know what? Joe Biden would still probably be the nominee, and last night wouldn't have happened. And the idea is that it's hard to put on most Americans to say, you know, go through watching the debate or learning about the debate and then spend another 3 hours about learning about why what they said was wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, that now is up to all of you. Everybody that listens to this broadcast, you've got to go into your communities and tell people about why you were voting for who you're voting for and why what that people may have heard about them. You can answer the tough questions. You can answer the tough questions. You know the truth. You know the facts, but you have to be willing to talk to your community, Logan.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to tell these two callers that are on hold right now. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get to you today, Waylon and Bob. Please call in tomorrow. We'll get you up first. I know that you were on hold for a long time. We just ran out of time. Phone lines were jammed. So we appreciate you calling.
Pretty funny. He quoted Vice President Harris, said, "I will fix things if I voted into office."
Yeah.
Says Harris, who is currently the Vice President of the United States in office.
Yeah, so great comments from you, from both of you. Just unfortunately, we were able to get to you. And we need to tell you, I mean, you saw firsthand what happened last night. You got to support the work of the ACLJ, because regardless of who becomes president, one way or the other, we're going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, the weaponization of the media, you see, their support of the abject lies spewed forth from the far left. Harris championed abortion. She got away with it. She couldn't even give any actual policy support for Israel. She refused to walk away from a single Biden policy, and ABC let her get away with it. We have big fights coming, and the deck is stacked against all of us. We're going to need your support to help protect us, protect your rights and freedoms. Please become an ACLJ champion and make a monthly recurring gift at aclj.org/champions. We are fighting the Biden Harris weaponization of government and the fight on Tulsi Gabbard, our colleague. We are fighting for pro-life centers in Massachusetts in court there. You know that. We're also, we'll get into it tomorrow, late last night, we're fighting back on the left's attack on school choice in Ohio at the Ohio Supreme Court. And there's even more legal work we're going to announce from the ACLJ impacting this election later this week.